most popular iron on all the tours worldwide.
Look faster than me. 91 mile an hour is close to the jet for average. Starting the fitting process now with Nick. Just for the viewers out there, Nick works at TrueFit 4Ways, or owns TrueFit 4Ways. What we did today is to give a natural feel element to it, we've actually just taken stock out of our shop and put it together. This is not his playing set. We want to give you a view of a customer coming with their current golf clubs that is potentially not right for them. So this isn't his current set, just to be honest with you guys. So there's no thing here and like saying this is how bad Nick has fitted himself or I fitted Nick. Just to give a honest viewpoint with regards to that. So Nick, feel free, please hit a couple of shots for us so we can start going.
Also, just to make it realistic.
It's very, very realistic.
If someone's coming for a custom fitting, they are unhappy about their club setup. So if Nick came and hit his set, which is really well fit for him, I mean, he realistically wouldn't have come for a fitting because he's playing nicely.
Correct.
So it's more using what we would say is like a demo set, just so that we can simulate what actually happens when we have fittings, because customers come to us, they're not happy with what they got.
And also at this point in time, we're looking at data parameters. So we're looking at his club head speed, his carry, his strike, his launch angle, his spin rate, you know, all these data points to give us an idea which direction we need to go into.
So when we start the fitting, we have a chat about the golf ball like we did earlier. So we have spoken to Nick, and at the moment he's playing the Pro V1 X left dash, which he experiences. It does have a high launch but low spin profile.
I'm a high spin player, so I do need a ball that spins less.
Yeah.
But I do launch it high as well. So I think I'm going to need to change to the AVX ball.
Yeah, so after we had a chat, we realized that going to something like an AVX will bring the flight down but maintain the low spin, if not take even more spin off the golf ball. So for the purposes of fitting now, we've got Pro V1 and Pro V1 X. So we're going to use the Pro V1 because that most closely simulates the ball flight and the feel that you're looking for. But then when it comes to actually testing the golf ball out and putting it through its paces, we go and test them all out on the green, and we'll compare to the left dash that Nick's using at the moment and see which one's better, which one does he enjoy the feel of. But for purposes now, we've got Pro V1, and we're just going to use that. We can, at a later stage, if you guys wanted to see the difference, you can comment on the video and say, let's do a quick one on the difference between Pro V1 and Pro V1 X. And the difference would be different if Nick's hitting the ball, if I'm hitting the ball, if Arthur's hitting the ball. So it's quite interesting. If you guys are interested, we can have a look at that. There are quite a few videos on YouTube, but this one, you know, it's going to be honest. So we can hit them, we can see what the difference is, and we can show you guys exactly which golf ball is going to suit you the best. Okay. So Nick's just warming up. We want to see what his baseline is. We want to see what the positive as well as the negative of this set of clubs. And then from there, we'll talk you through the heads that we've got available and which one would suit Nick the best. We're not going to test all six, because golfers have limited energy. They're not going to be able to last that long and keep the intensity up. So we go through a process of elimination to find the right one.
And also which head he likes to look and feel like.
Exactly,
that.
Yeah. So that's part of the process of elimination.
And just so you know, the weight difference between Nick's shaft that he's hitting now and that's in the bag is identical. So it's actually quite similar in a sense.
Okay, that should be pretty good, Nick. Looks like you're hitting it nicely, nice and warm. So if we go through them just as a general overview, if we put it onto the grouping here, I mean, what would be your main concern? Obviously, these aren't your clubs, but if you're hitting these ones now, what are you noticing, Nick? Is it flying too high? Is it going shorter?
It is launching very high.
Okay.
It looks from the flight that it looks spinning, obviously, because I am playing a different ball.
Yes.
This ball, and then I can't see the data from where I'm standing, but it does look quite a bit shorter than what my clubs would fly.
How far would you normally hit your 7-iron?
I play for between 170 and 173 landing. Okay. I really strike it well. Hot day outside, maybe 175, 176.
Okay.
thereabouts. So,
and that's, so his average carry right now is 148.
And that's at Joburg altitude or something.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, we can see if we go have a look over here. You can see the average carry 148.2. So that's quite a lot less than what you, what you used to.
Yeah.
So if we just look at that club as a whole, that's a 620 CB, so a Titleist. That's going to be this one over here. So it's very traditional in the way that it's lofted.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the manufacturers are going to the slightly stronger loft because they're making the heads more forgiving, and we are included in that. As you make the head more forgiving, you're going to get more ball speed.
Yeah.
So if you get that little bit more ball speed, that's great, but sometimes it might go a little bit too high.
Exactly.
Because especially if you have tungsten down at the bottom of the head, it's going to launch like crazy. So strengthening the loft is to keep the ball in the same window.
Yeah.
So don't have one that flies up there, one that flies there. We want to try and get the 7-iron to launch roughly the same through the whole profile.
Of course.
But that just being traditional, more in the way it's designed, doesn't
it's
have a lot
of...
It's not. It's made for a golfer that has enough power that they're happy with their distance, they just want control.
Titleist and all the manufacturers still makes the traditional of the clubs because every golfer is different.
We need to have that option.
The way you deliver the club and at what speeds obviously determine what sort of club you go into.
Yeah.
And that's why they've got the difference. These are obviously completely wrong for me. We can see that.
But this is something that would happen on a daily basis when you're doing fittings and I'm doing fittings
100%.
And Arthur's doing fittings. So that's exactly why we did it. So just going through the heads briefly, we've got the 620 MB, which is the full blade, so no tungsten in this head to assist with all center strikes. So this is for your pure ball striker that's looking to have the easiest time shaping and controlling the ball flight. So someone who doesn't miss the middle and has ultimate control over what they're trying to do with the ball. Then going into the 620 CB that Nick's using at the moment, this is a slightly more forgiving version of that blade, and the same locks as well, and then it's got in this toe piece over here, it's got a little bit of tungsten from the 4-iron to the 7-iron. So it's just to give it a little bit more forgiveness if there is an off-center strike on the toe. Then we go into T100, which is the most popular iron on all the tours worldwide, whether it's a title-sponsored player or not. These are the most played by our tour professionals, and this, from the top, has the same visual, or very close to, as the blade. But it's got a lot of more muscle behind it, so it's going to give you a little bit more ball speed. It's going to give you that forgiveness. It's going to give you that nice soft feel because it's also fully forged like the other two options.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit more tech in this. So we've got the tungsten, also 4-7-iron, and that sits right next to the T100 logo, so on the toe and the heel side, and this is just to help us get that launch up. It's also got something called a variable bounce sole, which means essentially the sole is twisted. So traditional iron, the sole might be flat like that. With these ones, you've gone for more bounce on the toe, less bounce on the heel. So if the lie is not perfectly flat, you're going to get a good strike, and you're going to be able to kind of get a bit more playability out of it. Then going into T100S, this is a slightly stronger lofted version of T100, and it's built 2 degrees stronger in loft. It's not bent. That's the key.
Pitching wedge is 44 degrees.
Pitching wedge is 44 degrees in T100S, and just by way of comparison, it would be 46 in a T100, and then 47 in
the T. If you can just maybe say, if you bend the irons, you change the bounce profile.
Correct.
By taking traditional irons, that's why this is built. That's why it's a better option for a player like me, for instance.
Exactly, yeah. So if you bend the club's loft, you essentially, if you wanted to make it stronger, you bend it that way. Which is all fine and well, but the bottom of the club also bends with that.
Yeah.
So if you strengthen the loft on a T100 to play at a T100S, you lose bounce underneath. So the club is more likely to dig and get stuck in the ground. Whereas when we built it this way, so we purpose built it 2 degrees stronger, both the T100 and S have the same bounce number underneath. So they go through the turf the same way, but the T100S will give you a faster ball speed, a little bit lower launch, a little bit less spin. So if you're playing in the coastal area, for example, and you're fighting that wind every time you play, and you wanted to keep it lower without changing your swing, going for a stronger loft club makes sense. But if you're playing up here on the high fault, we need carry because the resistance is a lot less up there than it is on the ground. So we want to try and carry obstacles and make use of the altitude. So not always the case that you're going to hit it further when you've got stronger loft. As long as the spin's fine, then that's what matters. So those four, in my opinion, would be something that would kind of be suitable for the way that Nick plays and his kind of capabilities. We do have the bigger options being T200 and T300, but they tend to then have a bigger chassis, so more forgiveness. But then for Nick, it's going to go too far. And he doesn't need that much more distance. He just needs precision. So we could go into those options as well, but that is for a totally different golfer in another fit.
Am I correct in saying the T200 and the T100S is the same loft?
So the T200...
So it can be a nice combo set for your 4, 5, 6 maybe, and then 7 T100S.
Yeah, right? So it's not quite the same the whole way through, but there's a 1 degree difference in the loft between T100 and T200 from pitching wedge up until the 7-iron. So the T200 is 1 degree stronger in loft in those irons, and then they've blended it or manufactured the club so 6, 5, and 4 iron have the same loft in T200 and T100S. So yes, it's the perfect option if you wanted to make a combination set. And then the T300 is then further stronger in the loft.
The T200 is a hollow body design, right?
So hollow body, yes, but not in the traditional way, because this is actually a polymer, you could call it plastic plate, so it's not steel on the back. So that cover is there just to give it a more pleasing look, also to control the acoustics. Mm-hmm. So it's a traditional cavity back that has a cover. It's not manufactured to be hollow like let's say a hybrid, for example, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So this is more for acoustics and aesthetic. And obviously it does keep the grass out of the inside, which is helpful as well, but it wasn't constructed as a hollow golf club. It was constructed to be a T200, and then we made it look good and sound good. If we have a look at the numbers based on next warm-up, and we bring this view into it, we can see exactly what's going on. So if we go through them all, we can have a quick look, but generally he's launching it too high, the spin is too high as well.
And the ball speed's high.
The ball speed is low because there's too much loft present. So the spin loft number, for you, those of you that don't know, it's a combination of how much loft there actually was when you hit the golf ball, so dynamic loft, and then you add your angle of attack. So if you're hitting down on the golf ball by 5 degrees, so that would be our angle of attack is -5, but you're presenting 27 degrees of loft when you hit it. You take 27, add the 5 in to see what the difference is between them. That's what spin loft is. So if that spin loft is high, it means the club is either presenting too much loft or you are too steep on the golf ball. But we're not yet to change the swing, so then there's only one aspect to change with the custom fitting. So we need either a slightly stronger lofted head or a shaft that presents less loft so it won't kick so much at the bottom. And then we can, once you get that number right, the launch comes down, the spin comes down, and then we get less energy wasted by going up, rather get that forward energy that we're looking for. But when it comes to our fittings, the other thing that we need to have a look at is your angle of descent coming down onto the green. So if we go and have a look at that one, with a 7-iron we want to try and aim for around 45 degrees. If we see that one that you just hit as an example came in at 50 degrees, it's coming in too steep. So the recipe for that is it launched too high, had too much spin, so it floated in the air for too long and then had quite a steep angle. So it almost stalled.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to land on. But then when it does land on the green, it's going to spin off the front, most likely. So if we can control the landing angle, we can most likely control the launch and the spin at the same time, because it's all connected.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're simply going to take a very similar shaft, and we're going to try the T100S, because we know there's a big difference in the loft.
The loft, yeah.
So there's about 3 degrees difference here, because that's the easiest way to fix the problem.
Yeah.
So we don't want to change the way that it feels necessarily. We just want to try the head first, because the head for us is the most important. This is the engine of the golf club.
Yeah.
The shaft is what we would say is like the gearbox. So you need a good engine and a good gearbox to get performance. But you can have the best gearbox in the world, but if your engine isn't big enough or strong enough, the car's not going to go.
Gotcha.
If you have a great engine and a gearbox that's not so good, you kind of have the same problem. But the key point is the engine first. Okay.
Cool.
So the other thing I just want to have a look at is the lie angle of next club when it comes into impact. So we can see on the right hand side of the screen is, on that shot in particular, is dynamic lie angle is close to 61 degrees. So it's 60.7. our standard is 63. So if I set it up as standard, it would mean that next cut would be coming through impact 2 degrees with the toe in the air. That would then cause the draw and the strike to be more on the heel side. So automatically seeing that, I know we need to go 2 degrees flat from our standard, which would be 61, and we did that bang on the number. So we're just going to set the club up like that to start with, because we don't need to waste Nick's energy or his time. We want to be efficient but thorough. So we've got that information, might as well use it. Okay, so T100S, Project X 6.0 shaft.
Same shaft as the previous head, right?
Correct. So now we just change the tag, so we know what we're looking at. The T100S with the Project X 6.0 and 2 degrees flat on the line goal. Okay, so now...
Yeah.
Okay, Phoenix, let's see how it looks. Yeah, good job.
Straighter.
Definitely straighter.
Not the greatest of strikes, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit thin. That's okay. So straight away we can see everything is closer to optimal. It's just the ball speed is down because of that thin strike.
Yeah.
That's a better one. Good job. And then Nick, while you're hitting, if you wanted to tell the viewers what your traditional shot shape would be, like what would you, do you shape it on purpose on the course? Or?
I've always played a fairly straight ball flight.
Okay.
So my bad shot would be very bad.
Yeah.
Can I say normally like a slappy to the right, but if with the right equipment, I've seen that my bad shot is actually not as bad
yes.
as my previous set that wasn't fitted.
Oh, no, that's the whole idea.
So that's the idea.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're not robots. We don't do perfect shots every time, unfortunately. So.
No, I wish we were, but yeah. Not. And especially if you don't have time to practice or play as much as you would like, changing your clubs is going to be one of the easier ways of improving, obviously, as long as they are correctly fitted for you. Because you shouldn't have to change that much about your swing to get better performance. So we can see there, Nick hit that one a little bit heavy, that still flew 152.
Yeah.
So that was further than his average with the previous set, by about 4 meters, I think. So we can see it's better. I wouldn't say it's 100%.
No.
What are you thinking so far, Art?
I think the spin rate is still slightly high. The window is pretty good.
Yeah.
And the ball speed is slightly low, so we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
You can drop that spin rate a little bit and get that ball speed. Nick, you need to just warm up. Come on. Get it out in the middle of the face so you can get some ball speed.
Let's have a look at that strike since you mentioned it. So that was his previous strike. A little bit thin off the heel.
That was a better strike.
That was a bit better. Strike, yeah.
So now we can see the difference. If we have a look at the angle of attack 4.2 down, your general strike is a bit thin.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're definitely hitting down and not hitting thin because you're coming up and out of it.
Mm.
So it just means that the club isn't far enough down by the time you get to the ball.
Okay.
So from a swing point of view, you're just getting a bit ahead of it.
Mm.
So if we had a shaft that kicked more at the bottom, it will reach the ball a bit better. And the head's got a better chance of turning, so the strike will then move center. What we're noticing at the moment is it's quite a bit better just in comparison if we have a look at the averages here. So let me get those up. So club head speed's gone from 86.5 to just under 90, or sorry, just over 90.5. We can also see if you look below the average, there's a plus minus number. So that shows how consistent it is. So 0.9 miles an hour is how much your swing is changing in terms of speed shot for shot versus 1.6. Mm. And the shaft is the same.
Mm.
So it's just the head making the difference there. Then if we have a look at the ball speed, that's gone from 113.6 up to just under 116. But that is where we're seeing the inconsistency falling off. So we have gained average carry distance because of that slightly stronger loft, but ball speed isn't as consistent as we would like.
If you have a look at the spin rate and the launch angle between the two heads, it's dropped tremendously.
Yeah, so we lost just over 3 degrees on the launch angle, which brought the flight from up there nicely into the window that we're looking for, and then the spin's gone from 8,100 RPM on average to just under 7,000, so it's 6979. So definitely looking better already. So we want to try and figure out what else needs to change on this club so that we can get that ball to be more consistent and a bit higher. So if we have a look at the strike that you guys will see on screen, we're going to go from the first shot. We can see that one didn't pick it up. It was a bit thin. Shot number two was low on the heel. Shot number three, pretty centered. Not too bad. Shot number four, low on the heel. Shot number five was kind of in line vertically, but out the heel. So theoretically, Arthur knows that that strike pattern would be a sign that the shaft is a little bit long.
Correct.
But have you ever played shorter than standard iron shaft? No. You've always played standard length.
Yeah.
Dude. And your strike's never bad.
No, generally, I'm a good striker of the ball. So, yeah, I don't play shorter or longer
flat.
Yeah. Do me a favor, just grip it down quarter of an inch or half an inch to see what happens to the strike pattern.
Let's have
quickly.
A look-see. So, from shot now.
Nick, I'm sure you're not as tall as what you were when you were a kid. I know you're shrinking a little bit. Hmm.
So we can see Nick gripped down on it, but the strike was still out the heel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, gripping down on a 7-iron essentially simulates an 8-iron.
Correct.
So he just stood closer to the golf ball with the shorter shaft because that's where he's comfy. So
correct.
This is now where the shaft dynamics come into it and we could get something.
It was a good strike, but with open face.
Yeah. So if you grip down on the shaft, you essentially also make it a bit stiffer.
Correct.
Because it's got less material bending between your hands and the head.
That strike was a lot more centered as well. It's a little, we're cheating at the moment, just, you know, trying to find...
Experimenting
and just having a look if your strike is going to move more centered, which is... It actually has, which is pretty impressive.
Okay. So the shaft that we're going to try now is also a Project X. This is Project X LZ 6.5. The 6.5 just refers to the flex. Thank you. So it just means we're going from stiff into extra stiff.
LZ stands for loading zone, by the way.
Correct. So I don't know if you guys can see on the camera. I'm just going to try and hold it up and see if you can spot it. But there's a little ripple over here. That's the loading zone. That's what the LZ stands for. So that is where the shaft is going to be flexing a little bit more in comparison to the standard rifle profile that Project X makes. So
it has a much more direct shaft.
Correct.
It's going to be like a broomstick feeling.
It's got a consistent flex throughout. It doesn't have a particular flex point, where this one definitely does because they've made that a little bit more flexible by weakening the shaft essentially.
Yeah.
So, in theory, this shaft should launch higher than that one.
Because it's kicking. Yeah.
But the problem at the moment is that we're not getting the ball speed and the spin might be a touch on the high side. So even though it might kick a little bit more, because we strike it centered, the ball speed will overrule everything else. So that's what we just want to try and see, because if we can get a centered strike, your consistency will be much better. You obviously then start to trust it a little bit more. You feel confident to maybe bump the clubhead speed up another mile an hour and problem solved anyway.
Okay.
So T100S, still 2 degrees flat on the lie angle, but we've gone one flex up, so from stiff to extra stiff, and we're just going to try a slightly different shaft profile to get the strike centered.
A little bit heavy.
Yeah, it's okay. So this shaft is a little bit heavier in the weight, so it's 125 grams versus the 120 that we tried previously, so it might take one or two swings to get the feel for Nick, but you can see straight away the strike less out the heel.
It wasn't bad.
Ball speed's gone up.
Very good strike. Well done. So the clubhead speed has remained quite constant. But it's still at
first one you've hit the center, Nick. It's about time.
Yeah, so this is where the theory of custom fitting kind of gets a bit hazy.
Yeah.
It's because everyone says softer shaft should go left.
Yeah.
But a softer shaft causes you to hit it out the heel, and we know a heel strike is a fadey ball flight.
Yeah.
So by getting the strike centered using the shaft, a stiffer shaft is now drawing.
Yeah.
That was a baby draw, but still, pretty
also,
straight.
Also, Nick, just to make you feel better, the TrackMan is sitting on 20 degrees at the moment. So it's not yesterday's weather to get to your distance that you actually hit on a perfect day. Yeah. The distance is going to be slightly shorter than normal. It's overcast. It's quite cold today.
Yeah. We always just try and be a little bit more on the conservative side instead of trying to hype you up and put the temperature on 30 degrees because then you'll hit it a mile.
Altitude of 3,000 meters above sea level.
Yeah,
that was a good strike.
This is set on to, you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner where it says normalization. So it says it's a premium golf ball from the left. Then the altitude of 1550, which is Joburg altitude, and the air temperature of 20 degrees, which is pretty close to what it is today at lunchtime. So we can see that strike is now sorted, Nick. So
the ball speed's better, club head speed is very, very consistent.
I definitely like this shot more than the previous one.
And the positive thing is you're actually finding the middle of the face more often.
Good shot. So we can see the ball flight on the last few has been a tiny draw, but it's pretty straight.
Yeah.
So if we have a look at that strike, we can see it's going to be centered again.
Nick, are you now, because you're striking it more in the middle, you're starting to actually start, you're trusting the club a bit more and relaxing a bit because now club head speed is very consistent, but ball speed's getting a lot better over every shot. So you're feeling like you're a bit more comfortable and you're liking the setup?
I do feel that it's close to what I'm using.
Yeah.
So the strike on the feedback from the club is really nice.
Good.
And awesome. I mean, the more times you center the shot, the better you feel.
Correct.
The more confident you're going to have.
So
it's a knock-on effect.
So if we have a look at the ball flights quickly. So let's go to this one that shows you how down the range. So that was his last one. And you can see there's a little draw. Pretty straight. Pretty straight. If you look at the previous ones, you can see there's a fade. That one's pretty straight. There's a fade. Tiny fade there. Tiny fade there. So if we look at the groups, we can see that is the current LZ shaft in the T100S head versus 6.0. Then if we go and have a look at the averages, club head speed's gone up by half a mile an hour, consistency's gotten better. Ball speed's gone up by...
almost 4 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'd say 3.5 to be conservative.
I have to say, I'm actually quite surprised that the 125 gram is a little heavier than that.
Yeah.
I don't feel it really that it's heavier when I'm swinging.
It's just because
Cause the shaft's kicking.
The shaft's more active.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as, the ribs is actually out to square the club up.
Correct.
Get it back down again.
So, I mean, if you look from the start with the first setup, you started at 148 average, right? Club head speed was slightly low as well. And then you went to 163.4, now 164.7. So, I mean, you have gained almost 13 meters, 12 to be conservative.
Yeah.
Spin rate and the window's a bit better. Spin rate's definitely come down a bit.
Yeah.
And it's obviously the dispersion is a lot more tighter.
So if we look at the spin, the average spin now is 7,863. Also, what's your kind of goal when you're busy doing a fitting with your customers in terms of just the 7-iron?
It all depends from person to person and obviously relative to club head speed, right?
Yeah.
I would say my window, and everyone's different, depending on age and club head speed, is between 6.5 and 7.5 is my window that I'd look for. 7.8 is not bad. Anything above 8,000 for me is a bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, especially here in the high fault. We can get away with sort of a higher spin rate than normal than the coast. So
just to give everyone an idea, we go onto the optimizer, which is what we use to kind of give us targets when we're fitting using the TrackMan technology. We can see the last one you hit really nicely. So let's go there. We can see there the spin jumped up to 8,000. So we can't realistically go any stronger in the loft.
Correct.
But the launch angle and the height are perfect.
Correct.
We didn't really want to do that. So this shaft has helped us get the strike centered, but now it's just spinning too much. So this is when we say, okay, do we try another shaft?
Or a ball?
Yes. Do we try a different golf ball?
So now you're leaning towards the AVX now.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Okay, so what we're going to do is I've got some AVX that we can use. If you're happy to try hit a couple, then we can kill two birds with one stone and we can see what the difference is. Okay, so we've got some sample stock here. Sorry. I'll just get, let's use 4. So it's very rare that a golfer's not going to fit into V1 or X, which are our kind of balls that we use for the fitting. But if we do need to, obviously all the golf balls come back from the driving range, so I'll get these ones back, but then they just go into our testing demo stuff, so it's not a problem.
So in theory, Nick, spin rate should drop, launch angle should drop a little bit as well. So let's have a look and see if this makes a difference for you.
Okay, so we just tag this one as AVX, so we know exactly what's happening here. Because the ball flight is really good.
Yeah.
The strike is really good. Yeah. The weight feels good. The club doesn't feel too heavy, so the swing weight of the club is fine.
Yeah.
So we're happy with everything except for that.
Yeah.
So this is where using a different golf ball is going to work. And obviously, we would only use this and put it into play if it performs around the green as well. But if we can test it here and we can see a difference, then that's great.
Okay. Let's see.
No pressure, Nick. You got two balls.
We do have backup, but let's hit these two nice here and then it's fine.
A little bit heavy.
A little bit heavy, but it's straight.
Spin rate has dropped. It was a little drop kick though.
Yeah, so we'll see on the good strike if that spin stays around the same or if it does drop. There's a good one. Very nice. Okay, so both of them went pretty much dead straight.
6,700 from 8,000.
Yeah.
So now we've gone...
And it's gone higher launch, technically, with lower spin.
Yeah.
Which is also nice for Joburg.
Not a bad thing. We'd rather have it slightly on the higher side.
Correct.
You can also see because of the lower spin rate, it's actually carried 170. It's gone longer.
Correct. Yeah,
because the spin rate's under control.
Correct. It's not floating.
Yeah. So for you, this golf ball makes sense. For someone who's a low spin player, ready with the Pro V1 or even an X, this golf ball doesn't make sense because the ball will launch initially and then just fall out the sky. So the roll will be good.
But the carry won't be good.
So summertime, if you're playing here at Bryanston Country Club, the fairways are moist and damp and wet and sticky. So the ball is not, even if it comes out low with low spin, it's still going to take one bounce and stop, if not plugged. So that's not going to benefit anyone. You could be losing 20 meters of carry. So if we scroll down and have a look at that one, we have a look at your landing angle, 49.1 degrees. Okay, so still coming in a little bit steep, but we can see the spin's at least under control.
Correct.
So it's not a combo of steep landing angle and tons of spin that is then going to spin off the front of the green. It might land a bit steep, but it's going to stop. So if you think up in Joburg and Pretoria, summer golf versus winter golf, would you have more success getting the ball to stop using spin or by getting it to land steeply?
Land steep.
Because, I mean, the greens do get firm in the winter time, so spin isn't really going to do much. But if you can get the ball to land more vertically, gravity is going to help you stop that.
Correct.
So having it on the higher side, I'm not concerned about.
Yeah. Am I correct in saying the heavier shaft actually knocks the launch angle as well a little bit?
It should, yes.
In theory. Textbook, yes.
Yeah, textbook, the heavier shaft actually helps to knock the flight a little bit.
Correct.
And listen, Nick, from your club head speed, I mean, you're a lot faster than what's... Don't judge a book by its cover. 91 mile an hour is close to PGA Tour average for a 7-iron. Yeah. So why go lighter?
Yeah, no,
you need, you need stability in order...
100%.
We're not chasing distance.
Yeah.
So if we were to perfect those numbers, we can have a look and see, okay, how was the strike? A little bit high on the face, so maybe that's why the launch jumped up a little bit. But not far off. So if we were to try another shot, it would be heavier. And because you're playing at your level and you sometimes play 36 holes in a day, your kind of energy levels, you need to have that in mind as well. And for your normal club golfer, they're not in the gym every day most of the time. They're not hitting thousands of balls.
He's got to work and play sometimes.
So their kind of golf fitness, if you could call it that, is not going to be that high. So we could chase the perfect numbers, but in reality, the perfect numbers could be detrimental to your score because they'll play fantastic on the front line when they're full of energy and they've had their morning coffee and they're good to go. On the back nine, when the energy starts to deplete, they're not going to be able to swing the heavy shaft with the same vigor that they did on the front line. And that's also when you start to see, I shot 36 on the front line, I shot 46 on the back line. What happened? So we need to be aware of that as well. And if we could get that 169 carry, that's very close to your current number with your set. But strike straight. So we've got good control.
In the weather conditions currently, I'll be happy with 179.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if we...
I mean, you have to take the environment... The wind, temperature, all that kind of stuff, overcast, bright sunshine,
humidity,
preservation, and that all affects how far
it's all part of it,
on a normal day or not.
So if we have a look at the carry number, and let's, for interest sake, for everyone watching, let's put the air temperature onto 25, which is conservative for a summer's day. We can see that now went to 170.4.
Yeah.
So 5 degree change in the temperature, about a half a meter on the carry. So we can see it's not that you're going to hit it 10 meters further summer versus winter.
Yeah.
But it could be that 4 or 5 meters. And then you also have to remember the golf course cold in winter and hot in summer. So when it's warm, it's a bit more elastic. So it's going to spring off the club a bit quicker.
If you have a look, just for the viewers, if you had to maximize it at 3,000, which some people theoretically could do, not saying who's going to do that, now all of a sudden you're hitting at 184.4. So there are ways to manipulate the system to hit it longer. In theory.
Yeah.
So even if whatever radar system you use, they're all expensive, they're all top quality radar systems, but there are ways to manipulate it. And
I can tell you that thing. For me, that's the last thing that I would want to do for experience, because it comes back to, if you're not truthful with a customer, he's going to come back and say, but you sold me this saying I hit this
car. Correct.
And of course I'm not eating. Now no, what now?
They're going to figure it out very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, get fed up very
quickly. You, yeah, so, it's your,
so that's why we don't fiddle with that stuff.
If you make the bed, then you have to lie in it.
Exactly.
So just for interest, we put it now onto sea level. So we can see we're now 154 on the carry. So if someone comes for a fitting with me, but they live in George, or they live in the Western Cape, or they live in KZN, we adjust the system to suit them, because they didn't really know what their Joburg numbers are, because they don't play a lot of golf there.
Correct.
So we can see there's quite a big difference, but it also just shows the accuracy of the TrackMan and the technology that's in there. Okay. So also, doing a fitting off the grass versus off a mat. It obviously depends on the quality of the mat.
We've
got pretty good ones here. The ours are quite deep, so you could actually put a tee in and peg it up. So you will be able to feel a heavy strike, and you can feel a thin one. If you go and you do a fitting off a very thin mat, the heavy strike probably is not going to rear its head too much. But what will happen is you're going to strike the ball quite low on the club, so the club face itself. So if there's not a lot of cushion underneath the golf ball, so the mat's quite thin, the strike will be a little bit lower. And a low strike causes low launch but high spin.
Correct.
If we then go the other way around, where the mat is kind of too squishy and there's too much material, the strike will then move up on the face. So that is a recipe for high launch but low spin.
Yeah.
So we obviously tried to get a mat that is going to closely simulate a golf course environment, but it also depends what kind of conditions you play.
And also the reason why, in theory, use a mat, you know, in a perfect world, you'd want to go onto the grass and hit. But we want to have our customers hit from the same surface with the same variables on every shot, so that we can sort of use the data to get to what we need to. You know, always at the end of the fitting, what I do with my customers, if you really want to go hit on the grass, you're more than welcome to hit on the grass and go finalize and feel the difference between the mat strike, mat strike and grass strike, which is very crucial to know.
Well, we're just trying to control as much of the many of the variables as we can. So, I mean, if you're out on the driving range using grass summer versus winter, your fitting results will be different.
Correct.
Whereas in here, doesn't matter what time of the year you come.
That sort of stuff is the grass not cut, the fairway left, or stuff like that, where this eliminates it.
Correct.
Okay. So, if we all is said and done and we're happy with that, so C100S, the Project X LV 6.5 shaft, that shaft is standard then. We did flatten the lie angle by 2 degrees for your 7-iron, just so that we could get the club as close to parallel coming through impact as possible. We can see we're happy with that. If we were then to try and figure out whether we needed a combo set or not, we then work on ball speed numbers. So we work on a 5 mile an hour gap in ball speed between each iron. So your average ball speed with this one is just under 120, so it's 119.8. So if we round that up to 120, your 6 iron should then be 125. 5 iron 150, 4 iron 135. So we then need to find which 4 iron, whether it's a hybrid or an actual iron or a utility iron or even a 7 wood, is going to get you that ball speed. But because we can see that strike's pretty consistent, I would be confident in saying that you'll be perfect with the T100S the whole way through the back. But if, and most of the time with your average golfer, they do struggle with the longer iron.
Correct.
So we do test that. And we just see, okay, we've got a demo 4-iron and a T100. We've got a demo 5-iron and a T200. So those lofts play pretty similar because there is a difference between that loft and that loft. So we're not taking, we're trying to take the loft out and just see in terms of the head performance.
Correct.
Which one gives us more. So if we can reach that 135 with your 4-iron, it's going to be great.
Right, Nick. Okay, we're going to start off with the driver now. So give us a couple of shots so we can get some data and see what we need to do.
Yeah, good strike. A little bit high on the flight.
High on the face as well.
Yeah. So strike was okay. It wasn't perfectly out the middle. And we can see from our view anyway, the ball launched a little bit high. Spin was too high.
And just talking about optimal quickly, optimal number is an algorithm on TrackMan that, you know, takes club data and says, based on your club head speed, etc., etc., 260 should be the number. So you can see you're losing 20 meters in carry, and let's call it plus minus 40 odd, 35 meters.
Yeah, around there?
Around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, Nick, for the viewers watching, this isn't your personal driver that's already been custom fit and optimized. This is one that we know isn't going to suit you, but it's to prove a point, as most customers would have this kind of problem where they might launch a little bit too high, have a bit too much spin.
It's what I find by me is either they launch it too high with too much spin or they don't launch it high enough.
Yeah.
And both of those actually cause them to lose distance.
Correct.
So obviously, if you look at the numbers there, the spin rate is off the charts. It's way
too high.
Way too high.
Way too high. Yeah.
And then you can see the ball speed drops because it's actually not traveling.
Exactly. Well, you're not getting that compression, hey?
Yeah.
Because if there's too much loft, the ball just uses the club face as a ramp almost.
Correct.
And that's what generates the launch and the spin. Is if we can get that driver head to compress the ball a little bit more, then you get the jump off the club, which gives you more ball speed, brings the spin down.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to try to do using the head and the shaft.
Correct.
Okay, let's give us one more.
That's as piped as you can with that driver, right?
Just that about. It felt a little bit high off the face.
So the spin might drop a little bit.
Just for the viewers.
So spin did drop 400 RPM or so, I think.
Just for the viewers. I'm not trying to be this higher or anything like that. It's just that the setup I know is not working for me.
So, I mean, even if we use the TrackMan to kind of prove that, we're looking on the top left corner where you can see there's a number that says angle of attack. So that was on that last one, 1.4 up, 1 degree up, 1.2 up, and then the ones we had earlier were 0.6 and 4.4. So if we see that stay the same with these ones, then it means you're putting the same swing on it.
Yeah. Correct.
Because that angle of attack would change if you were trying to manipulate the ball up or down. So it's just for everyone's peace of mind, we can have a look at that. Okay, so we've got two kind of preset options here, just based on what worked with the irons. You'd roughly translate it. We've got TSR2 and TSR3. So the order in which we hit it doesn't really matter. So Nick can hit the 3 first, he can hit the 2. But the whole idea is that we just get an idea of what's happening with each drive head and the pros and cons. So whilst he's hitting, I think we can also hit about 3 or 4. I'm just going to talk you through each driver head and what it's designed to do and who it's designed for in terms of the golfer.
It's a 3.
Mm-hmm. My bad. Good shot. So starting off with TSR3, this is 9 degrees in loft. And the shaft in there is a Mitsubishi Tensei 1K Black.
Ventus Black.
I'm thinking of the 2, yeah. This one, the 2, anyway. That's got the Tensei 1K Black. And the TSR3's got the Ventus Black in a 60 gram extra stiff. So very similar shaft profiles made by different manufacturers. Mm. Obviously, they do have different technology in them, so they will feel different and perform differently, but there are two that are going to be pretty similar. Mm. So the whole idea with TSR3 is a slightly smaller sweet spot with a little bit less forgiveness, not that it's unforgiving. It's just less than TSR2, lower launching, lower spin profile. And it is the most adjustable head that we make. So it's got the little CG weight track system at the back that you can use to adjust the sweet spot from the center to the toe or the heel, depending on where you strike it. Mm-hmm. And you can also use it, if you strike it out the center, you can then use that weight track to generate or to minimize the shape, depending on what you want.
you can see there the spin dropped tremendously, as well as the carry picked up enormously.
Correct.
Yeah, so the spin was 2,900, and the carry is now close to that optimal number of 270 that we saw a bit earlier.
Ooh, no.
Okay, that's a little bit out to the right. You can see club head speed at 112.
Ball spin went up, so positive. Okay, for a spin-out shot, that was you, Nick. That was a spin-out swing. For 3-3 as a spin-out,
not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Launch angle's not good. Ball
not
speed.
That high balloony thing to the right.
Correct.
It's actually still, it's way right for me direction-wise, but normally if you do a swing like that, especially with the wrong clubs, it's like a high, spinny balloon.
Goes nowhere.
Goes nowhere.
And that, and you can see we're a lot more closer to optimal than we were earlier. Shot.
Yeah, good drive. Okay, very nice. So if you want to switch drivers, you're more than welcome to. After we've hit TSR2, we'll then go into the stats and just compare them side by side.
So the TSR2 does have a bigger sweet spot, but it does supposed to produce a little bit more spin, correct?
So they move the center of gravity in the driver further back, which then adds stability to the head on off-center strike. So yes, the sweet spot is essentially a bit bigger. It is supposed to produce a little bit more spin, but the benefit is if you're able to get a higher ball speed because of the greater forgiveness in the head, that's going to take away some spin.
Correct.
Because ball speed and spin are always opposing.
Correct.
So if we can see that the ball speed jumps up from the average was 162.1 with TSR3, if we see that average go up, the spin should stay the same, if not drop. Okay. That'll be quite interesting to see how it comes out. And with all the TSR drivers, we're still using a material called ATI-425. So it's a premium titanium face that we have now adjusted with the new TSR range to improve the performance. So we've made the outskirts of the club face a little bit thinner, so we can get that increase in forgiveness, a little bit more ball speed. Mm. But we could only do it now because in TSI, the previous generation, when that came out, we didn't really know that much about the material. We knew it was better, but we hadn't had time to test it thoroughly for a two-year cycle. And we can see with that new face, hardly any of them broke.
Yeah.
So that just meant that we could experiment going a bit thinner on the perimeter of the club face to increase that ball speed. So hopefully that's what we should be seeing.
Ball speed went up, by the way.
And spin, not bad. Good drive.
That was a good strike.
How ball speed's just jumping every time, Nick.
That was a good strike.
How are the shafts feeling? Both the Ventus and the Tensei.
Hey!
They feel very similar.
First optimal of the day.
Nice.
They feel very similar to me.
Okay.
Obviously, the 1K Tensei shaft is a 65, where that one is a 60.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. The launch from my perspective looked pretty similar. In theory, this one should launch a bit lower, am I correct? Because it's a touch heavier.
The weight should influence that launch to come down a
It's minimal, Nick.
You're not
going to
see it
when
they get high, really.
No, I would say the difference between the weight is like 3-4 grams, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, so the actual raw weight of the shaft, once it's been cut, it depends obviously on how you trim the shaft and the length and all that kind of stuff.
No.
There we can see that was a centered strike, actually a little bit out the heel.
Mm-hmm.
So what caused that big fade on that last shot in particular? Because if it was a heel strike, then it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see that it was centered. So we look at the bottom. Club path was 3.6 degrees left of target, face was open.
Yeah.
So that traditionally means the shaft is a little bit firm. We need it to square up.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the angle of attack 1.4 degrees, so that stayed the same from your driver to. If we have a quick comparison, we look at the averages. So we've got your driver at the bottom, which is the blue, 109 club head speed. Then we went to 111 with TSR3, 111.7 with TSR2. So you can see by having a shaft that makes more sense for your club head speed, you can then get the most out of it because you feel confident to just go after it a bit more. And the driver is a distance club, so that's exactly what we want. Ball speed went from 156 to 162 with TSR3. And then 163.5 with TSR2. So again, increase in ball speed because of that forgiveness on the face.
Yeah.
Carry went from 246 with your driver, 261.7 with TSR3, 260.6. So it's pretty close between the two and the three in terms of carry. And then rollout, also about a meter difference. Smash factor is the same. Spin slightly lower with TSR3. That's exactly what we expect.
Yeah.
Okay. So we now want to just give you a final recommendation to try and get that club face nice and square coming through impact and to stop it being open, which is going to cause that high fade one. So, I mean, based on your knowledge, Arthur, what would you, which head would you go for and what shaft would you recommend?
So for Nick, I'd probably stick to the two biggest sweet spots because you're not playing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go into that shaft and the stuff, and then we maybe tip trim it slightly just to make it a bit like a stuff plus.
Yeah.
But it's still got a bit more forgiveness for it to square up the face to get out the ripeness, if that makes sense. So whether it's a Ventus Black from a six stuff perspective, tipped it a little bit, or the Mitsubishi, they're both really, really good shafts.
Yeah.
I think I would probably do that. What do you think?
Okay. So I would rather go for the shaft that's got the most potential, and we need to try and reduce that spin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even from your experience, which shaft would do the best job of that at presenting less lock?
I would probably say the Ventus is better at that than this.
Yeah.
Although this is a very good shaft.
Seeing all the guys on the PGA Tour using that. That's why.
No, but you get the hazardous shaft, you get this shaft, you get the Ventus shaft. They all in the range. You got the low launch spin, but they all give the and from my experience, the Ventus is one of the lowest spinning ones out there.
Correct.
Quite honest.
And also a very smooth shaft.
Exactly.
So what I would recommend is we go the Ventus way because everything that you said is correct.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite tip stiff though because of the Velocor technology that it's got.
Mm.
So what we would rather do is
change the setting on the hosel.
And we could potentially change the weight at the back of the head as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if we really dove into it, we could have a look.
Add more time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we had it on B1, which on the title setting is going to be a little bit
fade biased,
so flat lie angle. Mm. Because if we have a look at the strike here, we can see the toe is slightly in the air. So that dynamic lie angle, which is bottom right corner, is 52.5. Our drivers are built for 58.5.
Okay.
So we just want to go a little bit more upright, and it's more for the shape rather than anything else. Because you're hitting it off the tee,
if
we're a little bit toe down or heel down, whichever way it is, you're not going to be catching anything like grass.
It's not like the range,
So we're more going to change that to get the shape going.
Okay.
So we've taken the TSR2, we put the Ventus in here, so low launch, low spin shaft. And we put it on a slightly more upright lie angle, but I've just taken a smidge of loft away to control the spin. So we also do know that we are going to be using the AVX golf ball just based on the iron recommendation. And that golf ball spins quite a bit less.
Yeah.
So if we don't quite hit the spin number with this one, you know the ball will probably make a difference. It might not hit the box or tick the box directly, 100%, but it will help.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's give this one a go. This should be pretty good.
A little bit of
the toe. That's all right. Okay, so there we can see everything's pretty close to optimal except for that ball speed.
Yeah, spin rate came down nicely.
Yeah.
But it was a toe strike.
And if we have a look, that smash factor is 1.44. Ideally with the driver, 1.5, 1.52 would be great. But based on the strike, we can see that's out on the toe.
You see if I can actually strike one in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
That's a great drive.
That's better.
So that pretty much sums up the way that a fitting would be done. We just covered the golf ball, which is number one for us and should be for all of you because that's a piece of equipment that you use on every shot. So the best performing golf ball is definitely going to help you. Then have a look at the irons and then the driver as well. So there's obviously a lot that goes into this, and probably for some of you it might be the first time that you're seeing something like this, and it might be a bit mind-boggling. But the whole idea is that, so both myself and Arthur, and then even Nick at Truth at Four Ways, we can explain it in a very technological way, or we can kind of put it into layman's terms if your knowledge isn't up to that kind of spec. But the whole idea is that we need to get the misses a little bit better, and then to reward you when you do put a good swing on it. So you can see it was just a very brief snapshot there using a limited selection of shafts. Obviously, it is noteworthy to tell you that the Aventa shaft is a bit pricey.
Yes.
But the reason we used it is because it's quite a hot shaft at the moment, so a lot of you would be interested to see how it performs. But in our array here, we've got plenty of shafts, different flexes, different weights. Arthur's got the same at his facility. We do have something that will fit any kind of golfer.
Mm.
We've got, in our tightest lineup, we've got 4 different driver heads. For example, we've got 9 different iron head options. And we go from super heavy, super stiff shaft to super light, super flexible. So we're trying to make fitting accessible to everyone. We're trying to allow everyone to play better golf. And the gist of it is that we want you to play better, not for our game, but for your game, because we want happy customers.
Correct. And to grow the game of golf, pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
And then for us to close off, thanks to our viewers for being so consistent and loyal to us. You know, without you guys, it wouldn't be possible. We just want to give back to the industry and to you guys. Plenty. Thanks so much for your time. Nick, thanks for your time. If there's anything that you would like us to add, you know, whether it's going through wedge grinds or follow up on the fitting and finish with the woods fitting, etc., please just hit us in the comments. This is a very technical point, a technical thing to actually go through a full fitting. It takes a long time. We've tried to keep it as short as sweet as possible, but you know, this is all the time we have for today. So if there's anything you want us to add, please let us know in the comment section. Thanks, guys. That's it for this episode, guys. See you again, and thanks for watching.